Rod, whip, the narrow way. The rod of correction. Lamentations 3:1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. By the rod of whose wrath? By the rod of God's wrath. And this man, Jeremiah, saw those afflictions. He was an eyewitness, he says, to the rod of God's wrath. Micah 6:9. The Lord's voice cries to the city, and the man of wisdom shall see your name. Hear you the rod, and who has appointed it? Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? And the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make you sick in smiting you, in making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied, and your casting down shall be in the midst of you, and you shall take hold, but shall not deliver. And that which you deliver will I give up to the sword. You shall sow, but you shall not reap. You shall tread the olives, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, and sweet wine, but shall not drink the wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsels, that I should make you a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. Here Micah is told, he's shown all the wickedness and the judgments that's coming down because of unjust weights and measures, because of lies and deceit, that desolation and sickness was coming, and there would be no satisfaction when they ate or drank. And when you sowed and reaped, you wouldn't be able to use those things that was the labor of your hands, because the statutes, the laws of Omri, the wicked king, are kept. And all the works of the house of Ahab, which were under the prophets of Jezebel. Baal, the house of Baal, Omri and Ahab. And you walked in their counsels, and desolation was coming, and the inhabitants were hissing. And so the reproach of the people of God was on Micah. But this rod says in Micah 7:4, you feed the people with your rod, the flocks of your inheritance, which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, according to the days of your coming. Out of the land of Egypt will I show you marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. And they shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. The nations shall see and be confounded at their might. They shall lay their hands upon their ears, and their ears shall be deaf. And they shall lick the dust like serpents, and they shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. Why? And I wanted to say that again. Do you get the impact of the shame? They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like unto you that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham. which you have sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. This passage clearly delineates the rod of discipline and correction that comes from the people, from God to the people. God pulls them out and they're not afraid, and he corrects them and disciplines them. But if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Now, in this Micah passage, it talks about the nations will be confounded when God takes his rod and deals with his flock. And because of those dealings, the nations will be afraid of God and fear him, because God pardons iniquity and passes by transgression. He doesn't retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He disciplines, but he will have compassion and subdue the iniquities of his people with the rods of correction. Okay? And this rod is the corrective rod, where it says in Psalm 2, you shall break them, that is the nation, with a rod of iron, and shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So be wise now, therefore, you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. And Paul also describes this discipline in 1 Corinthians 4:9. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will you? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? God disciplines those he loves. He brings correction in order to save your souls from choosing the broad way to hell. He is a God of kindness, but he's also a God of discipline. And if you turn to him and repent of your wicked ways, he is quick to extend his forgiveness and his mercy, because he is a good and righteous father, even better than our earthly fathers. It is from this understanding of who God is as a father that American morality before this century was predicated on certain proverbial or pithy sayings, such as spare the rod, spoil the child. So the discipline of God keeps us from ending up in hell, from corrupting our souls and going into greater and a broader path, which will drag our souls and our very eternal life into the eternal fires, because we will become so corrupt without discipline that we will not be redeemable. Revelation 2:6, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Okay. So this person that's speaking to this church is Jesus, and he received a rod of iron. And Revelation 12:5, speaking of Jesus again, Yeshua, she brought forth a man-child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And in Revelation 19:14, heaven followed upon him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, that is Yeshua's, Jesus Christ, goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Is a whip of discipline, the rod, the whip, the narrow way, a whip for the horse. Why? To correct them and keep them in the path. A bridle for the ass, same reason, and a rod for the fool's back, to be in correction and instruction. Let's look at what this whip is. Nahum 3:1. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departs not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifts up both a bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because, and this is the reason why this whip of the sword came, because of the multitudes of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that sells nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, says the Lord of hosts, and I will discover your skirts upon your face, and I will show your the nations your nakedness and the kingdom your shame. And I will cause abominable filth upon thee and make you vile and will set you as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all that look upon you shall flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for you? Meaning, rhetorically, there will be none. And what is the way? It's very narrow. Narrow. It's the way of self-control. Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever you would men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the rule. Whatever you do to men, whatever you want them to do to you, you do to them. So, and it will happen this way. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. Whatever you sow in other people's lives, you will certainly reap now and in eternity. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. And let's look at what the fruit of those that find this narrow way is in eternal life. And is clearly articulated in Galatians 5:13. For brothers, you've been called to liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not be consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's what the flesh is. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of that which I tell you before, as I've told you also in the times of past, that those which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. For narrow is the way, and few are they who find it.